Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good afternoon,
Bears fans. This is Take the North with your hosts, David Haw and Dan Weider.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Welcome to the Take the North podcast. I'm David Haw from 670 The Scores, Mullenhaw Show, Dan Weider from the Chicago Tribune, covering the Bears, and this is our mailbag edition of the Take the North podcast. You have questions, we have answers. Let's get started. Adam Sadzinski, our ace reporter, has all the information, has all the questions. You can reach us at Take the North Pod on X. You can also send us an email at takethenorthpod@gmail.com. Let's go.
All right, guys. So lots of great questions once again this time around. We'll start on our Twitter account, which is again at Take the North Pod. This is from Harvey Spectrum at Harvey Spectrum 2 on Twitter or X. There's been a lot of well-warranted hopium this offseason, but we also know this team can screw up a good thing. If it all goes bad for the Bears this season, how does it happen?
Love this question, Studs. Love it. First of all, I love the phrase hopium. we got to use that. We got to somehow incorporate that into Take the North as we go forward and credit Harvey, but use that as our own going forward. Look, like we've talked about the number of different trapdoors that the Bears have found a way to activate beneath themselves over the years, where you have this seeming potential and then all of a sudden you're in free fall and you feel like Wile E. Coyote at the edge of the cliff. With this particular team, I think there are two ways that the 2024 season goes haywire. Number one is your rookie quarterback, Caleb Williams, struggles more than expected, and the volume of criticism from the outside world creates a tsunami of pressure and intensity that's too much for a 22-year-old kid to handle in the big market. And it just shakes the ship in a way that creates all sorts of struggle. The second way, David, I think, is if Matt Eberflus, who has kind of been given a pass since February as we've had our eyes fixated on QB1 and Justin Fields and Caleb Williams and free agency in the draft, doesn't rise up and meet the expectation for him. Look, like Matt Eberflus walked out of the 2023 season trying to minimize the scars of huge blown leads against the Broncos, the Lions, and the Browns, games that really came to define the Bears' season last year and really came to elevate questions on Matt's readiness to be a consistent winning head coach. Those questions were so pronounced that the Bears took several days when the season ended to try to figure out which direction they were going to go with their coaching staff. Now, I think Ryan Poles was very confident all along that Matt Eberflus was the guy and is the guy to lead this team where they want to go. But I think you and I are probably in agreement that there's a lot more to prove in 2024. And if Matt doesn't prove it, the season could go in a direction that we don't want it to go.
I think that's good analysis. I think that's also fair and an understanding of just how tenuous it is season to season and confidence you place in a head coach. I also think the question reflects a lot of PTBD, post-traumatic bear disorder, and a fan who has been around for a long time. And I'm certainly not criticizing the question because it's one that's born out of experience, and there've been a lot of bad ones. So we all lived through the most recent disappointment of 2019 when, you know, the excitement level was palpable in the city when the Packers came to town for the season opener and then things didn't get off to a good start. You're right, Dan. Here's the way it unravels. And I guess this is It's such a Chicago way to look at this. The way it unravels is Caleb Williams has been overhyped and doesn't live up to the billing. And he, you know, is erratic and immature, which I don't expect, but that's possible. Number two, yeah, Matt Eberflus and the coach he hired to call plays, Shane Waldron, is not an obvious upgrade in intellect or scheme or anything. And he's clumsy and he's overwhelmed. And those things we have seen happen before with many a Bears offensive coordinator. But I think the most likely way, if you're choosing a path to destruction, if you will, a familiar one in Chicago, it would be an injury to somebody of consequence, an injury to your best pass rusher, your best defensive back, your one of your key linebackers, an offensive lineman that holds the key to a lot of things, a wide receiver that helps you make be different. Whatever it is, we all have seen it before. Going back to 2007, the Bears broke camp with 21 of 22 returning starters, and then the injury bug hit, and it bit, and they never really recovered from that. So that's how good teams never reach their potential, a combination of ineptitude, inconsistency, and injury. I hope that the Bears can avoid all those things because I really believe if they can stay healthy, they can do something pretty exciting in 2024.
You and I also talked about 2019 previously about how the swarm of attention that came with that season seemed to kind of wear away at the team earlier than it should have. And so that's something I think the Bears are going to have to be cognizant of as they go into 2024 as well, that Caleb Williams is going to bring, as Ryan Poles has described it, a wake of things behind him, which includes a whole load of outside attention that isn't normally there that you're going to have to get used to operating within. And that's something that's an organizational assignment to get that equipped, get some extra sunscreen, get yourself ready for how bright that spotlight's going to be and see if you can handle that as well.
Exactly. All right. What's the next one, Adam?
All right, guys. So we'll go to our Gmail for the next one. This is from Charles Castle Jr. So again, this Gmail of ours is takethenorthpod@gmail.com. Charles writes, first, I want to say thank you for getting a Gmail account so I don't have to add another social media account to interact with my favorite Bears podcast. I appreciate that you're not a homer podcast and provide an impartial view on the state of the Bears. Now to his question. When it's time to make the number 9 selection, do you think the future contract considerations could be a factor? I ask this because if they draft a left tackle, their rookie contract would expire a year after Donald Wright's contract, meaning they may have to choose between one or the other. However, if they took a defensive end, Montez Sweat's contract would be up and you could let the older player walk, shifting his money to a younger player. And
Go ahead. That's the second part.
He said, sorry for the long-winded question. Hope you might still address it.
I think it's an interesting question, Dan, because I don't think that you can go into the draft with those kind of limitations or all that kind of clutter in your mind, even though it is very practical. It's a very practical question, and it might even make you think as you begin to look at roster building and contract realities. We always talk about the quarterback with the rookie contract. What about the left tackle with the rookie contract? Or maybe the wide receiver, if you're going to get Keenan Allen's here for 1 year, look at DJ Moore's contractual reality. What's he going to be worth when his contract expires? So it's not inconceivable, and it's probably even realistic to think that they have had these conversations internally. I don't know if it affects what name you put on the card and call in to, the draft headquarters, but I wouldn't dismiss it either. I would think that the Darnell Wright, the left tackle, right tackle dynamic is an interesting one that I had not really considered, but I wonder if the Bears would.
I don't think so. I think that as a general manager, you do have an obligation to look out. A couple of years down the road, you have to constantly be looking at your current depth chart and then be sort of plotting your next year and the year after that depth chart. But I think when you're trying to marry up possible contract extensions for multiple players, multiple years down the road, you're just making decisions based on hypotheticals that may never come to be. And you can't afford to do that when you're in a position to make these picks. You don't know if Darnell Wright's going to stay healthy through the end of his rookie contract. You don't know if the guy that you draft is going to be good enough to warrant a second contract, which in Chicago, first round picks meriting second contracts has been more a myth than a reality. And so like, it's just one of those things. You deal with that when you get there. But in the short term, you just try to find the guy that makes sense for you now that puts you in the best position to be competitive at a high level.
I don't think you want, as a general manager, to make sure that the cap situation and or roster construction is great for the next guy. You know?
Right, yeah, right. So
if you're planning for something that would be easier in 4 or 5 years, you're probably going to overthink it, and you're going to make it easier for your successor to handle. So I would focus on the football matters foremost and then take the other problems as they arise. But that's a very good question.
Good question and some good compliments in there, which always allow us to say.
Yeah, right.
All right, guys. So we'll go back to our Twitter account for the next one. This one is from his name on here is just the letter J, but his handle is at Bruise and Tattoo, which is awesome. It seems like Olu, and I believe he's referring to Olu Fashanu here, was one of, if not the top tackle in the draft throughout the college season. Now I'm seeing him as a third or fourth sometimes. What happened?
That's a good question, too, because I think Fashanu is a guy that you look at as a high school teammate of Caleb Williams, would make history if the Bears drafted him, has different varying degrees of confidence level, or the analysis of him when you read some of these reports is pretty wide-ranging, Dan. I think that there are two schools of thought. I have seen him ranked as low as third and as high as second, probably not ahead of Joe Alt. But I think the Bears are going to have their own analysis and own ranking. And this is where I think it does require maybe a leap of faith. If the Bears identify Olu Fashanu as the highest rated tackle on their board at number 9, and they feel like after Joe Walt goes and they want to take him, you're going to have to trust Ryan Poles that he knows what he's looking at because of the position he played, and that he considers himself an expert on that more than anything. And that's the way we're going to have to take it. I don't know that I would necessarily like that, but I would understand it.
This is another good question. And as recently as the fall, you know, there were people that thought that Fashanu could be a top 5, if not a top 3 pick in this draft. And now the you know, consensus is that he will last down to 9 and maybe into the teens and off you go. Look, like, this dude is got prototypical size, strength, length. He's got good feet. He has the skill set that you look for in a tackle. I think there's two things happening here. Number one, it's the depth of this tackle class and the fact that there is competition, and it's sort of a pick your flavor. We've talked, I think, in recent weeks about J.C. Latham as one of these guys that has kind of flown under the radar for the last 5 months, but here in the month before the draft, the more you hear from people inside the league, they go, whoa, like, that dude, this is kind of how Darnell Wright was a year ago, where there were a lot of other tackles talked about, and then all of a sudden right. It was like, Darnell Wright. And then the Bears picked him on draft night, and you were like, oh, okay, yeah, makes sense. And he's been really good. So the tackle class is there. And then I think in some pockets of the league, David, from folks I've talked to, there's this sense that Fashanu occasionally can be a little bit robotic, a little bit stiff. You know, that raises questions on when you're playing against high-end quarterback killers every single week. Are you going to be able to win those one-on-ones on a regular enough basis to get there? A good tackle and a great tackle are very different things. And then I just think, like, as a run blocker, kind of ordinary, and that's just the thing. I mean, that's not saying that there's holes in your game. It's just saying, like, this is some of the reasons that he may not be a top 10 pick when the draft ends 2 weeks from now.
I think it's a great point about Darnell Wright. If they draft Fashanu, and I think they might have gone somewhere else, Darnell Wright's success as a rookie, durability, quality, whatever you want to call it, will buy Ryan Poles the benefit of the doubt, I think. It will help him convince people that, you know what, I was right last year. Trust me this year.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right.
All right, let's get to another one.
All right, we'll do one more quickie here, guys. So this is from Dan at DanNo561 on Twitter. Please assign your subjective probabilities to the following options at 9. A, Bears trade down. B, Bears trade up. C, Bears stay at number 9.
Okay. Trade down, 30%. Trade up, 20%. Stay put, 50%. I think they're probably, and I might even go higher than that and stay put. I think they're more likely to stay put. Maybe I'll make it, let me do this. 10% trade up, 30% trade down, 60% stand pat.
We're holding you to these numbers, David. These are okay. Very, very serious numbers here.
I think they're going to stand pat. I don't see them trading up or down. I think they're going to stay at 9 and get a player that's going to make an impact day one.
All right. I've got some for you. 52% trade down.
Okay. Wow.
44% stay put. 4% trade up. I don't think there's a real incentive to trade up in this draft, given the depth of the positions that you'd be trading up for, because there's other options there on the trade up. The trade down, I think, might be the preferred option inside the building if the Bears can't attract a trade partner that gives them a certain floor of how low they're willing to trade down to. And I think they could turn it into multiple picks and capitalize if they get the deal that they want.
Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy. If those are the first four off the board, quarterbacks, all of them, 1 through 4, Ryan Poles should be motivated to trade up with the Chargers and get Marvin Harrison Jr.
Why?
Get up next year's first-round pick.
Why?
Why
not wait and see if you can get Neighbors or Adunze?
Because they're not Marvin Harrison Jr.
If
Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best player in the draft, you would be fixated on getting him if he's still on the board at number 5 and the Chargers want to add capital for their new head coach. I don't know what it is, but if he's the best player on the board, you'd go get him.
That's a heavy price to pay, given the fact that there'd be options just below him that would probably match up pretty well without having to give up a first round blue chip possible player in 2025 to go do it. I hate it. Not in.
I would love it because it would be so unbear-like to go and get somebody. You would end the day, I think I said this the other day, you would end the day with Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison Jr. and you would win the draft because Marvin Harrison Jr. is better just by a shade than Adunze, than Neighbors. And I think that little bit that you see, if you agree with that, if you don't agree with that, you're not doing it. But if you think he's the best player in the draft potentially, you'd go up and you get him.
Cost bothers me there, specifically with the other options that'll be there, specifically with the fact that you already have two go-to receivers in your room and you don't really need to feel that urgency and desperation. But we agree to disagree, and that means that our mailer sent us a nice question there.
52%, though, the trade down. I hope they don't trade down. I hope you're dead wrong because that's lazy, and that's a little scared. That's a little scared. I don't want Ryan Poles to go into this draft scared. If you're going to trade down, you're scared.
Studs, timestamp this for the night of April 25th when it's after midnight and we're bringing back David's criticism of Ryan Poles for being a scaredy cat for trading out from 9 to 13. Okay.
Thank you for all of the submissions. Those are some pretty good questions. They can get us going, and we'll continue to do that before we get to the draft, a little bit of a mini episode, but it's worth getting our submissions from the audience because it's always fun to hear from
them. We got a really good audience, and I'm impressed when these questions come in. I always appreciate the fact that they're not these like crazy trade hypotheticals that make no sense and they're rooted in La La Land. It means our audience is good. I also think, David, we may have the best mailman in the business. Studs does a great job of getting the postage and it delivering it to where it needs to go.
We know two things about Studs. He is a great mailman, and he is capable of going postal. I think we can agree on that.
And Studs is in Vegas. He's delivering the mail from Vegas right now.
From Vegas. I know. Vegas Studs. Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. And this has been a fun one. And we'll continue to do this as we get closer to the draft. 2 weeks away. Looking forward to that. We'll be here with any news that breaks in the week coming up. We'll be back early next week with another podcast. For now, we thank you for listening and submitting your questions. And for Adam Studzinski, the mailman, he always delivers, even on Sunday. And Dan Wiederer, I'm David Haw. We'll talk to you next time on the Take the North podcast.
Great talk. See you out there.
Giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.